No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Ryan.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new episode of No Sir, I Don't Like It. I am Carmen Morales. I am your host, and with me, as always, is the very funny
Ryan Vokey.
Ryan Vokey.
I'm also a host.
Oh yeah, you're co-host. Yeah, for sure.
You just stole the show right out from me right there.
What do you mean?
I'm your host, Carmen Morales, and with me is the very funny Brian Vokey. You know what happened? Oh, you know what? We're going to move on. I was going to try to bust your chops, but what? I don't care about that anymore.
What?
You just reminded me of something that's funny that happened at an open mic.
What?
I host, luckily, this is something that's nice. I host an open mic on Friday nights in Hollywood. And I haven't been able to host it very much because I've been getting gigs.
Oh,
and so
good problem to have.
Yeah, yeah. I've hosted about 3 times in the last 2 months,
mm-hmm.
If that. And I hosted it recently. And I just, without thinking, I categorize people when I bring them up. And I go, this is the, coming up next, the very funny Carmen Morales. Or if you were coming up, I'd say my good friend and the very funny Carmen Morales. Or I say my good friend, or I say the very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And this open mic dude who
so
I don't think is either
categories?
Of those. Yeah. There's a guy who I don't think is either of those things. So I go up and I go, guys, up next, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I noticed you didn't call me a good friend or very funny. So I know where I stand with you. And it was like, wow, that was easy. Usually I have to tell people.
That's nice. You were able to tell him without having to tell him.
Yeah, I'm learning this California communication.
Mm-hmm. That passive aggressive bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because there's so many. I think it's because there's so many people from the Midwest here.
Oh my God!
You know
those corn-fed freaks, dude. I was just hanging out with somebody
from
Indianapolis.
Oh, that's fine. I guess if you want to do that, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah. Oh no, it's fine. I'll just do it myself. I'll just pick all of. It's like okay. Ask for help, you pussy. What do you want?
What's the most passive-aggressive thing you've ever done? Because mine involves a tattoo.
Damn.
I'm not. This isn't a competition. We'll get into competitions later in this episode.
I don't know. I don't really think about like ranking it. My whole thing is usually guilting for fun.
Yeah.
I make you feel bad. You come on. You deserve to have a good time. Come on. Like that's all that whole.
Are you passive aggressive ever?
Yeah. My mom's super passive aggressive, so I have it. Like, I'll do it in a relationship way more than like with a friend. Because my friends, I always just feel like I don't know, but like with in a relationship specifically, I can get real passive aggressive.
That's nice. Are you not aggressive?
Oh, I'm aggressive aggressive too. It's either one.
Active aggressive?
Yeah, I'm an asshole aggressive. And then passive aggressive. Passive aggressive if I don't really want to fight, but I want you to do what I want you to do. And then aggressive aggressive if I want to fight.
I love fighting. Dude, here's the most passive aggressive thing I ever did. In the army, you can't get a tattoo like around your wrists or above. And when I was trying to get kicked out of the army, I tattooed "Serve Nothing" on each of my wrists.
You did this?
I did this tattoo just. I got "Serve Nothing." I don't even like it. It's embarrassing. It's not embarrassing.
I never
actually
look at this. I only ever see the wrist that says nothing. I don't know. I just in my memory, I only ever think of that
because that's my hiling hand. So that's the
that
one that's always out.
I
hile with the nothings.
Because you don't even believe in that.
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing.
No, but yeah,
Nothing.
I got a tattoo where it would show in what they call your class A's, your dress ups.
Mm-hmm.
And that is literally the most passive aggressive thing I've ever done because it was permanent. Oh, I didn't know.
That's a very cut your nose despite your fatigues.
Exactly. Yeah, take the poison, wait for you to die. It's funny. I was walking down Sunset. We were walking by me and my friend were walking by some strip club. I think it was Crazy Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure.
Right.
And there's silhouettes of strippers there, and one of them is straight up hiling, like
no
the silhouette. And my friend was like, "Oh, that's yours. That one's for you. So,
that's your favorite one."
Yeah, I love Nazi strippers. If anybody knows anything about me, boy. Oof.
So was she your favorite, or was the Russian one your favorite one on Glow? Did you ever watch the?
Oh, I watched Glow.
Yeah,
the Russian character.
I don't know if it was her. There was a Nazi. There was Nazi outfits though in GLOW. I remember because I just watched the documentary, and they had these.
Oh, real GLOW. Chick,
yeah, real
oh,
GLOW.
Oh, oh, oh. I don't know much wrestlers, about real GLOW.
The chick wrestlers were like dressed up as Nazis, like fighting black chicks and stuff. Like
That's
it was
awesome.
Yeah, dude, they were so ridiculous.
Things were so much freer back then. Because it's not like the world
it's
is less
it was
racist.
The Coke era, that's why.
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily a sign of, like, I think it's not like things are better now. Like, we still have people getting shot just for being
yeah, no,
a certain color.
Still horrible.
We
There's
might as well have Nazi
better.
Wrestlers. It's like everything's so PC and fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's like, at least, it's it should almost, be one or the other.
It's almost as if it's like trying to. That's your way of being like, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
can't say bad things about each other. It's not happening. Like, just trying to, like, literally be an ostrich with your head in the sand.
Right. It's just, yeah, everybody's living. Everybody's an abused child now.
Yeah.
Just pretending the dad isn't beating up on the mom.
You know what's fucked up is I don't, what I can't stand is when people try to, like, use trauma as, like, a currency. You know, like, they try
yeah.
to, they try to, you ever see two people try to out trauma each other?
Dude, have you ever met a rich white person? Who an alternative rich white person is what I mean.
What does that mean?
Like the kind of rich white person, and by white I don't actually mean just white actually. That's lazy on my part, and that's a pet peeve of mine that I just did myself. But I know a lot of rich kids who decide to live an alternative lifestyle, you know, lots of roommates, like in a housing situation that I have, but they do it by choice.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that was a. Oh wait, I think I
like
did
a commune type thing. Yeah. Like I'm talking about a punk house, but like a commune thing. But you got all these rich kids who look poor. They go in the dumpsters for food. They like live an alternative, like anarchist lifestyle, but they're super rich and they
I
can
think
always
I
go
met
home.
A kid like that when I was in Boston. I was at a mic, and this it was like a gutter punk showed up.
Yeah,
just hadn't showered and shit, and was he said he was just going on. He was just touring all the open mics of the U.S. But he had the money to do it. Like
that's what Jennifer Aniston's brother is like, I think, or some famous. He's like goes to Burning Man and wears like gross clothes. But I've been around these kind of people my whole life, and the thing is, the amount of guilt.
See, I never even knew any rich people.
Oh yeah, dude.
So I don't know what they do. All I see is I'm bombarded with it now because there's so many rich kids doing stand up. So that's like my only. I really did kind of live a sheltered life once they started like living in, cause it wasn't sheltered from the world cause it was still all the seedy under shit.
Right.
But it was still very specific to stand up. Like I would only know people who would go to see stand up or other comedians or like it's always full immersion.
That's wild, man.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. That's, you gotta. Man, I'm glad you're not in that world right now.
Yeah.
Like fully immersed. You're completely immersed in stand-up, but you talk to real people now.
Yeah, yeah. So it's way better. I got a little less weird over the last year living here.
Yeah. They let you out of the Vietnamese prison.
I let me out of the Vietnamese prison. I just started talking to everybody like it's the end of the show. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank
you for coming.
That.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Dude, So when you're around these like rich people who are pretending to be poor because they're politically awakened or whatever, it comes with that is a massive amount of guilt. Like one of the most telling things is every time one of my like poor looking rich friends' family was in town, they would act like that was the worst thing in the world. I'm always excited when my family's in town.
Dude, I fucking love seeing my family. Are you kidding me?
But it breaks the whole illusion down of who they are, you know? The parents
because
come,
they're like,
dress
I reject
super
them,
nice.
I reject their money, I
my
don't want
my sister's such
that.
A bitch. I don't even want to hang out with my sister. And then you meet her and you go, oh, she's just not hiding who she is and that's why she's a bitch.
She's just okay being rich?
Yeah, she doesn't have a safety pin through her nipple. That she also gave herself a tattoo with that same safety pin. It has a Kurt Vonnegut quote on it. It says, so it goes.
So it goes.
Ugh.
I feel like you're talking about somebody very specific now.
I'm talking about 400 different people. I got a tattoo of a birdhouse with a fucking safety pin and a Bic pen. Ugh. Anyway, I got lost in hate there in my head. I still got to have external hate, not internal hate.
I think I feel like it's also because there's so much light being shed on like the plights of other people now that it's almost like trying to be inclusionary, you know, like, oh, I've been through shit too. I've been through
that's exactly trauma. What it is. Like the way you process the guilt of your wonderful life that, by the way, anybody you feel sorry for would love to have, is the way you process that is by A, putting yourself, whether you know it or not, putting yourself in positions where you're guaranteed to have something horrible happen to you.
Yep.
I'm going to hitchhike for 2 years across some country where rape is legal.
Yeah.
And then you put yourself in these horrific situations, or every human being naturally compiles trauma because that's just part of being alive. So you take all that trauma and you wear it on your fucking sleeve. And you only talk about it and you only bond, you only make friendships through trying to top each other with trauma. And it's symptomatic of guilt.
It's gross though.
Yeah. I used to be into it, man. If I'm being completely honest, this makes me want to throw up. I'm getting the douche chills, but like, do you know how many times I've gotten, gotten some strange, we'll call it, over telling the story of my mom dying. I didn't do it on purpose. I wasn't like
it was just a symptom of it.
It's just like, yeah, you open up in that trauma thing, like, oh my god, that's a crazy story, you know. And the next thing you know, you're both trying to fuck the trauma out of each other, and it's just like, it's
wow, that's intense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, oh yeah, dude. A lot of the stuff I complain about back in the day is stuff that I'm unlearning. I always say this: I left a cult, you know. I left a cult. But yeah, like the DIY punk world, it's like, it's, dude, everybody just like, the coolest person in the room is the one who's been through the most. It's so funny how that shit plays out too, because like, it was so funny. There was a squat in Oakland where these people lived, they broke into a building and started living there and they started having shows there. Mm-hmm. It had power and everything. It was a decent place to stay for a while. Of course, rich people just don't respect anything, so they trashed it. But they were like, we need to have roommates of color. We don't have any roommates of color. So they had a room open.
Whoa, 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 whoa. They had a diversity ROCs. Program. They had a diversity program for their living situation.
Yeah, they're like, I think it's fucked up that we live here in Oakland and we're not providing space for people of color. And it's like, yeah, it is in a way. You're right. But the real answer is move. But
yeah, so get the fuck out then.
They had these interviews, and the thing is, only people who are running from their lives will willingly live in a trashy, broken into building.
I don't want to live here. No. I don't want to live. I didn't want to live out of a Saturn.
They were doing a series of interviews.
The fuck is with these people?
They were doing a series of interviews.
I can't believe you were friends with people. I don't like that. I don't like that you fucking associated with such idiots.
Yeah, I know. I don't either. But I don't anymore. And I'll tell you what, man. Those idiots, they helped me go see the whole world.
Yeah?
You know, traveling in bands. So that's cool. I got a lot of positive, but who wants to talk about that?
For sure. But, yeah, no, I get it. A bunch of rich kids showed you the world. Yeah, that's not surprising.
I will show you the world. Let's go on tour in Europe. My dad's credit card is in my wallet. And I hate him because he's white. I hate my white dad.
Don't you dare spend any less.
He owes me all the money in the world. Anyway. This is a funny story. They had a series of roommates so at the squat that they were interviewing to move in, because like when you live collectively, everything's
so
a meeting.
It wasn't just any person of color they had to be interviewed, or is that everybody had to
that
be
was
interviewed?
Just everybody had okay. to be interviewed. So it's just like an NBC showcase. They're interviewing white roommates, knowing they're never gonna give it to the white roommate, but they have a law they have to, you know.
They have to.
Do we need to finish this audition? We already know who we're taking.
Yeah.
We have to interview 5 more. But so the only black person who went in the interview was this sketchy ass black lady who like, and their little pussy ass white guilt, they couldn't step up and say it, and she ended up stealing from all of them. That was the second happiest day of my experience of that squat. The most happiest was the day it burned down. Dude, they were such bad white guilt that they let crackheads hang out in there because they're like, this is their neighborhood and we're invading their space. Like, and they
what's fucked up is they like they don't care that they're invading their space. As
they don't
long
care.
As
they would leave if they cared. That's the thing,
that's
man.
Fuck them, dude.
I know. That's like, that's how I feel. Did we talk about
how the fuck is that better for how is that better for anything? How is that progress at all?
Everybody's willing to make a statement as long as they don't have to take any personal accountability. Like, were we talking about the, no, we weren't talking about this, but I went to a comedy show and there's a person that you and I both know. And he was wearing a shirt that said, men aren't funny. The comic. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that shirt, I was like, I wonder how many times that dude's like raped somebody. That, like, to me, he should wear a shirt that says, I'm a rapist. Because every like outwardly like male feminist guy who presents himself like that always ends up like such a douchebag.
Yeah. And I think we've touched on that before, but I still think that, I mean, that if as a hunter, it makes sense.
Uh-huh.
You get all the sheep to come close to you. This person is safe. This person gets it. Yeah. Da 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 da.
I don't know
whatever.
Why people don't see those signs.
It's blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
If you've ever, all you had to do was fucking hear about the book The Game, and it's like, the same thing.
But think about the root of it. This is a comic who's wearing a shirt that says men aren't funny. He could pretend it's ironic, but it's like, if you really were that dedicated of a male feminist, you wouldn't do comedy because you're a man. So if you really think there's like, there's too many men in comedy, blah, 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 then don't do comedy. Why are you different? It's the same way these people are like, these white people want to bring in a roommate of color, and it's like, but you don't want yourself to leave? If you don't think the new white person that's going to come to the house belongs in the neighborhood, why do you get to be in the neighborhood? You don't belong in the neighborhood either, according to your own logic.
Yeah, dude, I had a moment like that with the last dude I dated. It was because, you know, over in that Silver Lake area, it's all Hispanic. You know what I mean? And part of the reason that we even got the apartment was because I could talk to the lady in Spanish, you know?
Sure.
And like, he was just like super proud to be the only white guy and like all this other shit. And
what's
I was like,
exciting about that?
I don't know. But and then like, it ended up happening, like the neighbors kind of like threatened him. And then I thought it was really funny because it kind of checked him as like, this isn't your neighborhood, motherfucker.
What does he think? He's Christopher Columbus?
I think there is something like that to it.
Where it's my flag here, my white flag.
Or it's, you know, when it is like rich white kids going and moving into shitty neighborhoods, like, it's cool. Like, they think it's cool that I'm here. They don't mind that I'm here.
Yeah. They always trash somebody who's
been there
a minute later.
It's
than
that
them.
Whole I'm fucking special bullshit.
Yeah. I remember in this neighborhood was super fucked up. And like, congratulations. You voluntarily moved into a horrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then with your
instead of having to live there because you have no other fucking choice.
Right. Exactly. You know? Yeah. Those people are fucking gnarly. I remember one time in Portland, Oregon, are you familiar with Portland at all?
I've been there a few times.
There's a street called Mississippi Avenue, mm-hmm. or Mississippi Street. And it's like, it was like the main line of the gentrification of Northeast Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all fucking like shaveries and like places to get a good hot shave.
Yeah.
And we sell vinyl records, hot shaves, and homemade whiskey, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And I remember I was dating a girl in Portland, so I was up there a lot. And a business, a high-end hair salon. Now, the backstory of Mississippi is that it used to be the Black Strip in Mississippi. That's where all the black businesses were in Portland. And a new business opened of a high-end hair salon, and all the fucking anti-gentrification people who also were gentrifiers in Portland got real pissed at this new high-end hair salon. They were like, that's it. And so a couple people came out and they threw bricks at it and broke all the windows.
Jesus.
And like spray painted go home or whatever. What they didn't know was this was the first black owned business that had opened up Mississippi in like 60 years or something. So these
God, you've got to be kidding me.
Which of course then it hit the Portland Mercury, which is like the rag up there, like everybody helped out and things were fixed or whatever. But it's so funny because all my friends up in Portland get so mad about that show Portlandia, but I'm like, you are that. That's why it makes you so mad. You are the corniest city on earth.
Seriously.
Could you imagine being a black, like, you're on Mississippi? That's a big deal because that's where it was. That was, and then you have to go home.
Yeah.
spray paint and go home.
What fucking idiot.
I mean, it was, I'm sad that they had to experience that, but I laughed until I cried when I heard about that, because it was just like, God, I love when they look bad. I do. I love when those fucking brick throwers look bad.
It just doesn't make any sense, you know? And it's like, it's like the whole, I don't know if I talked this about on here. What was funny is I worked with my buddy Grant Lyon, and he has a bit that's like about this, where he talks about white privilege. And then he's like, all you have to do is go to a slam poet, like a slam poetry night. And then you just hear somebody about, like, you know, an Iraqi refugee, like a black woman who's been through everything. And then it's like a white kid being like, my dad won't let me cuss. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where you just see like the level of difference.
That's the only issue
think.
They really care about, by the way, is the last one. The other ones are just buffer to build up to what they really want to talk about.
And it was funny because I saw it at a storytelling show that I did. Like, I told a story about my dad trying to blow me and my mom up.
I was there.
Yeah.
Well, one of them.
And then Chris Estrada was there, and he talked about the time he got like held at knife point when he was on a date with a girl. Like, just these are real fucking horrible things that happened. And then this pretty white chick went up and talked about how this bitch fucked up her sandwich at Vaughn's.
God. Was it funny?
No, of course it wasn't funny.
Because I will say I like the storytelling shows when the premise is something very small and it's a very funny story.
Oh, right. No, I get that. But it wasn't.
Yeah, because I do think that some like those storytelling shows turn into what we're talking about, the trauma contest.
Yeah.
Like, I was shot. Well, how many times?
Yeah.
I'll see your one bullet wound and I'll raise you four knife wounds and a molester.
You know what it is? It's just like it's that Brian Regan bit where he talks about at a dinner party people try to outdo everybody, and that why do we do that as human beings? Like,
what is
people do it in different ways. It's just fucked up even more so that people are using trauma to do that.
It's in the Regan bit, for those not familiar, he says he wished he'd walk on the moon. He's walked
he
on the moon.
He was one of the six astronauts to walk on the moon, so then he could trump anybody's story. So if there's like some meme monster who's
a
all
topper.
Like, oh, yeah, I drive the Autobahn. I do rah, 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 me. And then he's like, oh, yeah.
I walked on the moon. It's a really funny act out too, because he's fucking eating food, listening to
chips,
the eating
skipping.
Chips while this guy's telling the story.
It's funny you were mentioning the Autobahn. I was just thinking about how when I was driving the lunar rover through the Sea of Tranquility, and I was worried about the speed, but then I was like, oh wait, we're the only ones on the moon. It's one of my favorite bits of all time.
What's the walking on the moon of trauma?
Oh, probably, what, rape? I mean, right?
Yep. Ding, 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 ding.
I think it'd probably be rape. Yeah. Because rape's like...
Can you imagine being at a dinner table? Oh, yeah? I was raped!
It's funny you mentioned being catcalled.
The whole time you were. It's funny you mentioned roast beef sandwiches.
Being pressed down into the concrete. I just kept wondering, man, why couldn't he just be catcalling me?
It's funny you mentioned a guy messing up your roast beef sandwich. Because when I was being raped, somebody really messed up my roast beef sandwich. Dude, filthy Regan.
Oh yeah?
I was raped.
Trauma Regan. Oh my god.
Trauma toppers. Oh, they're out there, man. I've dated all of them. Yeah. I was one of them.
You know what's fucked up is like that's always it's either one way you're either completely exposing all of your trauma to everyone or you just completely deny that it ever happened.
I know. I have a coworker who he came out here to act and he was telling me the story about how he was moving back to Chicago and he was trying so hard to act like his tail wasn't tucked between his legs. Like he came out to this town, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, 22 years old. He's 32 now. He's chewed up and spit out. He's trying to have dignity while he's telling me why he's going back to Chicago. And he's like, you know, I mean, like, I wanted to get back into theater. Theater in L.A. sucks.
You could just...
And it was like, yeah, you know why? Because every movie and TV is made out here.
This is where you come for film, you fucking nerd. Yeah,
that'd be like me being like, yeah, I want to get back more into miming. Miming sucks in L.A. There's no mime comics. Yeah, no shit, because everybody hates it. It's not respected.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss theater, and I gotta tell you, I miss snow.
Yeah, yeah, like, you no, miss you 6 months. You miss 6 months of not feeling your fingers. Bullshit.
I grew up in a town where it snowed. Like, you have one day of beautiful white snow, and then it immediately turns into brown sludge.
Ugh, so gross.
It's fucking sub-zero out. You're getting snow dumped on you. Pipes freeze. You have no heater. You got to wear 5 coats to bed. You miss that? Get the fuck out of here. You're running home.
I just don't believe
your tail tucked between your legs. He's like, yeah, there's more acting opportunities. I mean, there's like, there was 9 last year. There's 7 now. Big shows being filmed. Oh, there's 7 big shows.
Yeah, all the rest of them are being filmed here. That's cute. There's probably like 4 more in Atlanta.
There's 7 big shows being filmed on the block. And this isn't even in Hollywood. We're in MacArthur Park. Oh God, he was just like, I wanted to blast
people who, like, when they get dumped, they're like, oh, I didn't want to be. It's that very.
I'm glad she did. I was about to do it myself.
Yeah.
Single tear. Oh my god.
Just in complete denial of it. It's so funny. Why are we like that? Why are humans so weird?
I don't know, but I am enjoying life more now than I ever have.
Me too. I think I'm going to die really soon. Like, I think that's where I think.
If we're all lucky, it'll.
You know? Because there's like
hopefully
a
it's after the No Star I Don't Like It tour taking
absolutely
over the Southeast in October. Relapse Theater in Atlanta.
Yeah, then the Caravan in Louisville. But I just do. I feel like there's several good things that have happened in a row that I'm like, oh man, this is like in a movie. I get terminal cancer.
Yeah, the Godsmack.
Yeah, something's got to happen. The Deus Ex Machina or whatever.
Deus Ex Machina?
Yeah, that's for Greek theater. That's what it was like. They called it the
God
Machine.
Machine? I thought you said Deus Ex.
God Machine.
God Machine.
Yeah.
That's what every ex-girlfriend calls me.
Whatever. No, it's sir, true, I don't man. Believe you.
God Machine. God damn.
But yeah, it's always that big.
Do you know how many
shift.
Phones I'm saved in as God Machine?
Really?
None.
Yeah. I didn't think so.
That's funny. Yeah, something's going to happen to you. Something but I know what I've been enjoying about life now is that I just, as you get older, like I got, you know, I can get a sunburn in the middle of my head now. And like things are
that's
falling apart. No, wait. I'm just saying I'm fatter. I feel worse. But as that happens, there's this mental freedom. I don't care how people see me anymore. I'm just so much more honest. I'm more honest now than I've ever been in my life. And
for sure.
It feels
I think
so good.
Isn't that's that classic 90s comic bit about like liking fucking older women because they don't give a fuck anymore and
right.
They just tell you exactly what they want?
Well, I'm not going to do that.
I'm
that's
coming
sounds
like,
gross.
I think I'm coming into that. Like, that's where I'm coming
into. Coming
into
an old lady?
Yeah, for sure. I'm coming into an old lady. What's she going to get knocked up?
Yeah.
But hey, I think I'm coming into that age where I am also because. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm supposed to care about so much as involving my appearance and like all of that shit.
Right.
And I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. And I think it's because my ego isn't attached to that. Like you could see it. Like if you look at women in general, you can see the things that they're attached to. Like there are women who
right.
who want to be better than other women. There are women who base their worth on how men perceive them and how like some women do like the attention. Mine is completely based on like respect.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
My respect and like success. So I don't care about any. I don't care who wants to fuck me. I don't care who if that dude is attracted to me. Yeah, I don't care. I just want to be the best,
right?
You know, and so I having that also with getting older and not giving a fuck. Like I feel like I'm almost free.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a beautiful thing, and I'm more than happy to trade my appearance and physical.
Fuck yeah, for my mind all day, all day.
Yeah, dude.
All day, just to not be locked in a prison thinking I'm a piece of shit every day because I don't look like a photograph.
Yeah.
Dude, that's not a way to live. And that's why it's so frustrating. Like, there's so many women in my life where I'm just like, stop caring about this, bro. It doesn't fucking matter.
I think that
guys fuck fake. They fuck flashlights. They fuck flashlights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not knocking that at all. I think that's a fucking beautiful tool. You know, I'm certain tool? It's yes, a tool.
Okay.
What? It's a fucking flashlight with a pussy on it.
Is there an actual flashlight on a flashlight?
Well, no, that flashlight's where the pussy is. You can't.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I'm saying it's a flash. It's a tool.
Okay.
You don't think that's a tool?
What?
It's a sex tool. It still qualifies
toy.
As a tool.
It's a sex toy. They're not sex tool shops. They're sex toy shops.
I don't know.
You're so masculine in certain ways. Yeah, we go down to the sex tool shop. Pick up a dildo hammer.
I'm just saying
hammer,
I would keep it in the
light.
Shed. I would keep it in the shed is all I'm saying.
That's where I keep my real pussy. Just reorganized them, too. Got a little pegboard. Drew little outlines for certain kinds of pussies.
That's one of my favorite Wanda Sykes bit about being able to leave your pussy at home. You ever heard of that one? Oh, it's so good.
It's just a replay on Kinnison's wife making you leave your dick at home.
Oh, shit. Kinnison. I never even thought about
honey,
that.
The other guys are taking it. Well, you don't need yours. I was just hoping maybe I could take my dick to Vegas. Why?
For what? You don't need it.
Yeah, she just flipped it around. I'm just saying, I mean, that's interesting that she did that. I'm not knocking Wanda Sykes.
Both, I mean,
wait, let's talk about
both.
Women. You know what? You started talking about women, and I want your opinion on just a stat. Okay. Now, I know this sounds like some Gavin McGinnis red pill vice shit where I'm like, I'm just saying facts. Women are dumber. That's just facts. I have a piece of paper right here that says women are dumber.
Look, I got it from Wikipedia. It's got to be true.
No, this is from a small sample pool of my friend running a show for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the show is a 4-hour marathon show.
Mm-hmm.
And he books people throughout the show.
So it's 4 hours of comics and they're all doing what? How long? Like 10
depends.
Minutes?
There's some 10 minutes, there's some 5 minutes. There's some,
so it's a fuck ton
minutes.
Of comics.
Yeah, it's a fuck ton of comics. Okay. And he sends us, and he has no reason. He doesn't have an agenda. He's a nice guy. He sends me and some other friends copies of emails of people who cancel on him last minute. And no lie, 80% of the last minute cancellations are women.
Well, dude, when I ran a show, that's how it was. When I
Why
ran, when I
is
ran a
that?
Show at the Pikey, most of the people that ever canceled were women. And it wasn't just that they were women. They would give me like an explanation.
Oh, yeah. He always he had one that was just like, I'm exhausted from hanging out with my parents all day. And it's like, okay, even if I had to cancel for that reason, that's not the reason I would give a booker.
Well, yeah, I don't understand.
Just
I
can't do it.
Like, I've never.
What the fuck does that mean? It's a job.
Somebody canceled on me like that, and I was just like I wrote back, "What? Are you fucking kidding me? Like,
would you do that with your day job?
How little do you care about this? How little do you care about this that you can't just do it?
Yeah,
I've never like the only time I ever canceled is it's twice. My car, fuck, I was stuck in the mountains. I've canceled, and it's always like my life was falling apart.
Right.
In order for me to, because it would the whole, I was a theater kid. I mean, the fucking show must go on. That shit was drilled in your, the show has to happen.
Yeah.
And if there's only three fucking people on that show, if you're a pinnacle, like you're a huge part of it.
Right.
You're 33% of that show.
Right. I don't understand. Why do you think, because the thing is, when I go on Facebook.
Wow, that sucks.
A lot of the complaints I see is about how there's no women on lineups. And it's just like I think I talked about this on the podcast before. I do a show and I had two women booked on it. One canceled last minute and I replaced him with a dude because he was the first person who said yes. And then I was getting blasted on Twitter for having a one woman lineup.
Right. But that's not going to be taken into consideration.
I know. And I'm not going to explain myself because I don't play their games.
Yeah.
I don't negotiate with terrorists. But I don't understand. I mean, it's just they scream the loudest, it seems like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I see like women screaming the loudest about booking and how many women are on a show and things like that.
And then
cancellations are through the roof.
I feel like I don't
explain your people.
Explain. Well, that's the thing is like I'm
how
coming
come
from
black
a perspective.
People kill each other.
I'm
Go ahead, black man.
I'm coming from a perspective where I don't not get booked a lot, you know?
Yeah.
But I've been doing it. Like,
I don't know if a woman who calls sex toys sex tools can speak on other women's behalf.
For sure. And I'm not trying to. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't have that complaint. I've had dudes be shitty to me because they thought because I was abroad I was going to suck. And then to me, that's always like, oh, yeah, I'll fucking show you. Like, but that's because my brain's fucked up. I don't get intimidated by that. I want it because I want to fight because I was raised by a sociopath. I was raised in an argument, so I'm supposed to fight all the time. But
what intimidates you the most is somebody being nice to you and respecting and like
I don't do well with that. That's for sure. Like truly, like I started seeing someone recently, and it makes me uncomfortable when they compliment me and I give something. It's like shut the fuck up. I already like you. You don't have to bullshit me. Like I always think a lot of it is bullshit.
Like when you taped that HBO thing, mm-hmm. I saw a picture of it. It looked like it was a massive place. Was it a theater?
Yeah, it was a theater. Did that intimidate you? It wasn't big. No.
You've done theaters?
No, not many. I've not many, but that didn't. So much so, I opened with two things I had never said on stage before.
At a HBO taping?
Yeah.
That sounds like something you would yell at me for doing.
I would yell at you. You should never do that.
And I will someday.
You should never do that.
Someday I will do that exact same thing in it.
But I also like risk. I like adrenaline, you know?
Yeah.
It's my cocaine. It's my, like, the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And the free falling. It's the closest thing that I've done that's without you jumping out of an airplane. That's free falling, you know? Stuff like that, or like that show set list or roast battle, things that you have no idea how things are going to go.
Right.
No control. Like, that's really scary and fun.
By the way, I'm Roasty Rookie of the Year.
Oh,
LA
shit.
Roaster Rookie of the Year.
Fucking Rookie of the Year.
Means nothing. I don't even get a thing to hold on to. Like, I didn't even get a card.
Tangible. You didn't even know about it. You just got an attaboy from somebody.
Yeah, some guy came up to me. Congratulations on the victory. On what? I knew it was a thing because I voted on it. I didn't even vote for me.
Oh, yeah?
No, I only voted for people I beat so that it made me look better because it was like, I wanted.
Nobody knows who you vote for.
Yeah, I don't know. But I didn't vote for myself and I forgot about it. And then, man, that roast battle it's a fun show, but it is not a badge you want on your shirt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do. I mean, I'm certain, because again, I've gotten a lot of shit because I'm a woman, you know? So I always like,
You may have won one, by the way, too. You were up for some.
Yeah. Was I?
Yeah. Cool. I don't know. I haven't looked. Dude, but
why do your people cancel? That is something shitty. I cancel because I book too many things for the same night. I try to do Los Angeles like New York, and you can't do that.
So what? Yeah, you got to drive 4 hours between every show.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like a lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always ask. I'm like, I have something that, like, so I've learned, so I don't have to cancel as much. I will write to the person who's like, hey, do you want to do this show? And I'm like, I have a show that night. It's at this time in this place. Do you think I would be able to make it? If I can make both, I would love to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like a way that I've tried to do it, just because it's a matter of mutual respect. Like, I don't expect people to give me spots, you know, and a lot of people have. And so I also ask. So even when I ask, I appreciate, I'll clip, you know, the whole nine. I'm not just like, you shouldn't fucking know who I am and book me. And then I'll cancel.
Do you ever start emails with saying, I notice you don't book a lot of women?
I've never.
This is a mafia ass way a lot of these girls try to get booked.
Maybe I should. I do like the mafia.
Yeah. Dude, people getting on shows out here is crazy.
What?
Like open mic comedians trying to get booked in LA. Like I have the privilege of helping. Neither are my show exclusively.
Right.
Running shows at two places that have good shows, at the Improv and at Meltdown Comics.
Right.
And those rooms are great, and I love it, and I feel grateful to be able to do that. But
that's another example. Like I wanted to do one of the shows that you booked, the Cinema Club, for like months and months, you know?
Did you?
Yeah, I wanted to do it. And Eric, like, it just didn't work out. You know what I mean? There was a time he offered a date to me that I couldn't do because I was already booked. But it wasn't like, I never took that personally. Like, he doesn't like women or anything like that.
Yeah, I know, you know, right? Dude.
But I think that's also a generalization of people just not being able to handle rejection anyways. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes.
Which, by the way, if you can't handle rejection, comedy should be the furthest. That's your kryptonite.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just, and I don't even mean just mean women, but I mean, like, since what we do is so personal, it's hard to take, like, us not getting booked personally, you know? So I think that happens in general with comics, but
I don't take that personal.
But a lot of people do. Yeah. A lot of people, like, I've had, like, anytime I talked about people with, like, well, they just don't book me. And I was like, well, what did you do to, and I always try to, you know, ask, what did you do to get booked? You know, I sent them an email. Okay. Well, did you follow up with them? No. Okay. Well, they get thousands of fucking emails right. a day. You fucking, you're not special.
And when you say, when you say they get thousands of emails, you're talking about a bar show where they leave the TV on.
Exactly.
You know, like.
I can't imagine how many the clubs get.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God.
So it's like, there's so much. And then, and my the other thing that I don't like is if you've never done anything to prove it yourself, you shouldn't just be asking for things. Like, to me, like, yeah. I think about it, like, when I think about Los Angeles, I think about a hierarchy. And there's bad mics, there's good mics. There's really good mics. There's awful shows that are worse than a lot of the mics. Then there's shows that are decent. Then there's shows that have an audience. Then there's really good shows. Then there's club shows that are really good. And, like, there's, like, all of those things.
Right.
And I try and gauge myself as far as, like, so I try to do all of it. I try to do all of the things, and but mainly shows. I try to do as many shows as possible. And then if I don't do that, then I do mics. Right?
You fill in the gaps.
Yeah. But I'm not, like, there's some shows in this town that I haven't gotten booked on. Like, there's Hot Tub. There's the Neil Brennan show
you
over
at the
West Side.
Hot Tub?
No.
They would love you.
I haven't gotten on that one. I haven't gotten on
Neil Brennan show.
Neil Brennan show. And, but again, I'm also not pursuing them to the point where I should be upset either, you know?
Right.
I passively pursue them because I passively pursue everything here because I'm trying to work on a career, not on my
right.
Los Angeles shows scene.
Everybody out here is so get rich quick minded too.
I think that's just Americans. Everybody wants a fucking lottery ticket, dude. Nobody wants to grind it out.
This guy asked me, he goes, hey, can I do your Adrenaline, which is a show I run at the August 6th at the Improv Lab at 8 o'clock. $5. We got Preacher Lawson from America's Got Talent, winner of the Seattle Comedy Competition, and mm-hmm. Just for Laughs, Fresh Faces. We have Mike Lawrence, winner of Roast Battle Season 1, open for Louis C.K. at the Madison Square Garden.
That's just to get 35 people in a fucking
yeah.
tiny ass
for a
10-minute
set where we fuck with you the entire time.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I have this show, and this comic... he's my friend, but he took 6 months off, and he was already new when he started.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up to me. He just started doing comedy again. He goes, can I get on your show? And I was like, no, you stink. I was like, you have.
We talked about this when you were talking about being honest. Remember?
Yeah. But the audacity of some people to. I'm not mad at him because we're friends. At least we have a rapport.
Yeah.
But like some people, like I was outside Nerd Melt doing Comedian Cinema Club. I see this one comic who's on the show, and he's talking to another comic I think he's probably attracted to, this lady.
Just based on body language.
And he says, I overhear him saying, yeah, just talk to my friend Brian. He'll put you on the show. And then I hear that on my left ear. And then to my right ear, this guy goes, hey, get me on the show. And I'm all of a sudden, I just the high from having a good show and having fun at a very chaotic show that involves a lot of like fucking work and focus, immediately inundated with just fucking open mic comedians begging me to put them on their show. And it's like, this isn't how it works.
Yeah, you got to earn it.
You got to earn it. Like, you can't, like.
But maybe I think they might think that they have.
Yeah, that's the point. You're right. That's 100% the point. They think they've earned it just by, I don't even know what people think earning it means, but like you don't get into comedy because you want to be successful fast. It just doesn't work that way.
You know, that's true, but it's also happened for some people. And I think that's what it is.
I don't know anybody who isn't a phenom. Like Eddie Murphy is a life-changing
force. But you're also talking about, there's different levels of rich that we're talking about here. You're talking about the 1%. I'm talking the 1% of stand-up comedians that actually have money.
Yeah.
Then
like the Brandon Wardells?
The people who just get those quick spikes, the flesh in the pans, those, you know, the get rich, those are get rich quick schemes. And even for them, it's still like about a decade. That's
your overnight
quick
success.
Yes.
10 years.
10 years.
Yeah. I don't understand. But like, I hate, that's my least favorite thing about, like, I love having these rooms. I love booking these shows, but I hate how many people make me have to tell them no. And then they get fucking shitty with me. And it's like, do you not see what's going on? Maybe instead of recording
yourself,
film
them. Seeing the people that are already on Adrenaline
I mean, you book bigger names because it's the improv, you know? Yeah. And then you'll have like one or two people who don't have a ton of credits, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, we have two people on this next show, Paige Weldon and Ben Branfin, who have zero credits as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Paige Weldon has an album out. That's probably good. But they're hilarious.
Right.
And they will have credits.
But that's what I'm saying. It takes so many people with credits just to get people there that you can only give one or two spots away
to people
who are funny. That's
exactly.
my point. Yeah.
And I covet those spots. Those are the fun ones to book.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the ones where you're like, hey, like, I see you fucking out every night and you're so fucking funny. This is going to do absolutely nothing for you, but here's
a
show.
You want to do a fun show at the improv? Yeah. And absolutely, of course, because again, in that hierarchy of shows, that's still an incredibly coveted spot, you know?
Yeah.
So they should. It should be a thing that you're like, I don't know. I mean, you should also pursue, like I tell people all the time, they should contact bookers and they should try to get booked because a lot of times they don't care about the quality of the show and they'll book whoever and that would be a better for the person seeking that out. That would be a good experience for you to grow, you know?
Right.
So it's hard for me to shit on that too. Like I get both sides of it. You should be asking for things regardless, but you should also be self-aware enough to know what to ask for.
It's like you got to go through law school to become a lawyer. Like you don't take the bar exam after 6 months of law school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I guess people in LA, it's harder to do that because it's easy to be seen too early in LA.
Absolutely. That's why I tell people not to start here.
Yeah.
Don't start here. Start anywhere else and then come here.
Right. I don't know, man. It's just like, I don't understand how these people are all getting up in front of stages telling people what they think life should be like when they clearly don't have any life experience and they don't know anything about living and they haven't lived. And it's like, why would I listen to anything you have to say about your opinions when you're clearly a full-blown dummy? Who's never done anything.
Yeah.
You're still wet from fucking birthing fluids.
I mean, well, and that's why if you see comics that are like 19 and 20 that are getting into stand-up, it's all silly observation just because of the lack of life experience, you know? But they can still figure out how to be funny. And then when some shit happens in their life, then they can talk about it and have opinions.
Right.
But...
Or then just write jokes that aren't opinions. Like I,
yeah.
What's the worst thing?
The opinionated part is the part that's annoying because it's just like a 14-year-old kid trying to explain to you that they know what life is.
Yeah. When Bill Burr was 20, he wasn't doing Bill Burr comedy that you know now.
No, the same thing with Louis C.K. When they're all doing impressions of Louis, I was like, Louis was a fucking absurdist.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing this shit.
He was a divorced father of two when the shit started.
Yeah, that's when he started. He got a significant amount of trauma in his life, and then he was able to fucking talk about it.
Nobody wants to hear a 20-year-old Bill Burr. You know, even look at the old Dave. Look at Dave Chappelle from JFL 91.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's goofy. It's so goofy.
Yeah.
And it's, by the way, it's so good.
Yeah.
He's like 20 years old, and he's better than I could ever hope to be. It's unreal. It's funny. You can see it in the greats.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it right away when
For
you
sure.
go back. I mean, of course, hindsight's 20/20, but like, I don't know, man. And I, in the other way, you can see it when somebody's never going to be anything. And I wish so badly. I wish every comedian, I wish if you got to a certain level of comedy that they gave you 3 firing cards.
What do you mean?
For a year. Like if you're approved by the Society of Comedians as to be one who is accepted as a great comedian, what they do is once a year you get 3 cards, red cards like in soccer, and you get to eject 3 different comedians from comedy a year.
Wow. Why would you want to give people that kind of power though?
Because I mean, I'm automatically assuming that I would get to hand out a card eventually. You see a guy go up and you're like, don't even finish a set. Here's your red card. You can
done.
Never do comedy again.
I've seen people like that. I've seen people like that for even back when I started. And most of them either quit or they still just do mics, you know? I mean, there's comics in Los Angeles that have been doing mics for 30 years.
Yeah, if I fire you, you could do open mics, non-club open mics. Because that's for everybody. And that's the point.
Yeah.
That shouldn't ever be exclusive.
It is open. It remains open.
Yeah, yeah. And it shouldn't be exclusive.
Open and unsafe.
But you cannot seek booking, and you cannot step foot in a club, or your tongue will rip in two.
I don't know. I think it's also, especially in this town, it's a lot of it is just people hanging out, too, and them getting booked because of that.
I fucking hate hanging out.
Why?
I'm so sick of hanging out. I like hanging out, but, like, I can't. Well, first of all, hanging out with comedians is tough because I don't want to joke all the time. I don't just want to
That's
riff.
So not true. I've seen you. Like, when you hang out with, you bit all the time with people.
I'm in the mood. Or I'm putting a putting on a Ritz.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, one or the other. But like, you see me out. It's first of all, nighttime me and daytime me, we've established it's a very two different
very
people.
Different. Yeah,
daytime me is a bitchy woman, and nighttime me is a frat boy.
I get you. I get you as a bitchy woman on this podcast.
I'm just fucking miserable.
We should change it to dishy girl.
I fucking hate people. And then the night comes down, and I'm like, I rip my shirt off, and I'm funneling beers.
Do you think it's because you had a few beers in you, and then you just turn into a real pleasant person?
Yeah. My friend, I stopped drinking, and I think we
might be talking about alcoholism, Brian.
Yeah. I was going to say, I have a little bit of that in me, a little bit of a drinker in me. Mm-hmm. And I stopped drinking for a week a while back, and two friends of mine confronted me saying that I'm awful to be around and I should start drinking again.
Damn. Well, dude, what's funny is I did another podcast, Ed Greer's podcast, and he was talking about his dad, and his dad was the same way. He was like, he was a drunk, but he was I liked him when he was a drunk. Like,
when he got sober, he was
the fucking worst.
Yeah. Forshaw has that great joke about how much better he looked when he was a drug addict or whatever. It's like, God, I was sexier. I was funner. Now I'm just miserable and fat and ugly or something. I can't remember the bit. I guess I shouldn't be doing other people's jokes on a podcast. But
so we did Brian. We butchered Brian Regan earlier.
Well, that one's out and recorded and a special. I don't know what Forrest is going to do with that joke, but it's way funnier than what I just said.
Previous guest on the podcast, you should go listen to that episode.
Very
if you
fucking
haven't.
Funny comic.
He's so funny.
But we're not here to talk about what we like.
No, we're not.
But here's hanging out.
Why don't you like hanging out? So nighttime Brian is a good time, so I don't get it. Like, you riff all the time. I've seen you riff with Gary and Bruce and like all those kids. You riff all the time.
Yeah, but you're naming actual friends. You're naming people I would care if something bad happened to them.
Oh, you're talking about hanging out with people you don't care about.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you're at comedy shows, inevitably, because I don't like most comics. I like hanging around. Most comics I like hanging out with are already professional or already going to be professionals because they understand when joking is fun and when we can have a real talk. And they just like, they can turn it on, turn it off. And it's just like hanging out with a real person.
Yeah.
In a kind of. Not really.
A real person that ends up randomly performing for you. Yeah.
But like, I just like, I get hanged out. you know what I mean? Yeah. I get hung out. I can't hang out anymore. Like my friend Kevin Tinkin, very funny comedian. I love him to death. I'm naming his name because he is a great person.
But I love Kevin.
Yeah, and he's...
He also has a really great podcast, you guys.
Ripping and Skipping.
And he's on the Cast Man.
Yeah, and he's on Comedian Cinema Club mostly with me at Nerdmelt. And he's one of my closer comedy friends. And he's been so nice. My car got totaled, whatever. Yeah. And I'm on Uber and on trains. And so he's getting... Not freight trains anymore, but...
No, you
Metro
upgraded.
Trains.
You upgraded to Metro now.
Ones where I'm allowed inside of them, not on them. But I and he's been giving me rides home. But like, I got to exchange with him. Like, I got to give him porch time. Like, if he gives me a ride home,
you got to hang out with him.
I got to hang out with him on the porch. He literally told, like, he was like a couple nights ago. He's gonna give me. He's like, I was like, can I get a ride home? And I don't expect to give a ride home. I always tell him I'll just take an Uber. It's no problem. And he goes, you down to hang out? And I was like, no, I just want to go to bed. And he's like, come on, 20 minutes? And I started this.
He starts negotiating.
Yeah, there's
with
this
you.
Dance going on where it's like, how much time? What's the minimum amount of time I can give you for a ride home? And is that longer or shorter than taking the train or the Uber?
Which is pretty, it's a compliment though. Like, your time is worth money.
It could be literally anybody.
But I'm saying
no. Any like he just wants to hang out. He's one of those people. It could be anybody. It's not me. It's just I'm the one there.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah,
it is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm Mr. Right now. Get it, bitch. Dish it, bitch. I'm not Kevin's Mr. Right. I'm Kevin's Mr. Right now. You don't even care. No, and so in my mind, I'm thinking like. What's the minimum time? And it's a financial decision.
What? Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, I'm doing math in my head that involves money and my monthly budget and time and how much sleep I can get before I go to work and what's worth what.
Right.
And then I'm like, man, I want this to be my job.
Where you just hang out?
Yeah, appearance fees, man. Like a
fuck that, like dude. Shack. Where you don't have to do anything though. I think like as an artist, like you should be getting paid for your art. That's just you showing up to be a fucking douche, like just to be there.
Just to be me, man.
You're not getting paid to be you. You're getting paid to be on.
That's amazing.
I guess that's actually.
I remember there's Club 112 in Atlanta. You may know as Club 1 Twizzle from Welcome to Atlanta. Shaquille O'Neal made $100,000, and he was there for 12 minutes.
What?
$100,000. Just because the promoter wanted so badly to develop some cachet around his name.
Damn, really? That's the kind of money you get just to show up a place? That's fucking insane.
Appearance fees are my dream job.
I thought your dream job was having a holding contract.
Do you realize there's a theme here?
You want to get paid for nothing. Yes.
To reiterate for people back home, a holding deal is when a network or some entity, some content entity, pays you money to not work while they figure out what to do with you. Dream job. But I could still do appearance fees while I'm in a holding deal.
You can?
Yeah. And then I'm a millionaire and I've done nothing.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
But you have to do so much to get to that point, though.
Exactly. So don't knock it. I earned it.
That's true.
It's time for me to nap.
I worked with a few like comics that have done that, where there's always like a nightclub promoter or something like that that just pays them to come and hang out at a place.
So Hannibal Buress does it. I mean, I don't know if he does that for fun or if he's getting paid, but the after party thing of every Hannibal Buress show almost.
Yeah. It was like Brandon T. Williams was his name. He was the guy in Tropic Thunder. I worked with him, and there was this dude... This guy, and it was like, it was a fucking bar in a strip club. It was a bar in a strip club, and it was like some ultra lounge, you know what I mean? With like a lot of white and purple neon, you know what I'm talking about?
No, not really. It's not my world.
It's not my world either.
I know squats and dumpsters. I don't really know white nightclubs. White-walled nightclubs, are you kidding me?
It was like that salon from fucking Portland. It was like that.
Oh, okay.
Seemed higher end, you know, and they had food and stuff, and they were just like set up like this little VIP area, and they just paid him to come and hang out and drink there.
Is he black famous? He's not famous.
No, he didn't sell out every night, but he did sell out some nights. So I think it's like not quite. He's almost black famous.
Yeah. I want to be black famous.
We all want to be black famous. Are you kidding me?
That's the best famous.
Where people dress up. Oh,
I know.
Where those fucking.
You can still grocery shop, though. Most people don't know who you are.
Oh, it's so great.
God, I bet Paul Mooney has it great.
Yeah, I don't think anybody fuck. I mean.
Maybe after Chappelle, but I mean, he was already old as fuck when Chappelle show started.
That's true, yeah.
So he had the whole 67 era, the 70s, 80s, and 90s of being like black royalty, but also anonymous.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that'd be
nice.
I just
don't want to be bothered.
Yeah,
I don't want to work. I don't want to be bothered. I want welfare is really my dream job. And I'm just trying to figure out a way to be on welfare on a bigger scale.
I just want rich people welfare.
That's what it is. We'll give you a check to sit on your ass and just show your face. God damn. That's so beautiful. I remember the funniest appearance I ever saw was I used to sell T-shirts at a music festival in Atlanta when I was a teenager. It's called Music Midtown. And I've seen that band live.
Fucking lightning crashes.
Yeah. Isn't there a line in that song where it says, the placenta hits the floor? Something like that.
The placenta falls to the floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So gross.
I knew a girl who dried her placenta up and made pills out of it. And
why?
Because it's full of vitamins. And it's like, you know what else is full of vitamins? Is other kinds of food.
Yeah, just
that isn't a placenta. It's not like vitamins
parts.
Are rare.
That's weird.
It's a thing they do. It's like witches in medieval times used to do that. And they also used to live to 35 and died from a flea on a rat. Anyway.
a lot of things.
Looking back to medieval time for medicine makes me so mad.
Take the whole thing into consideration. You could die of a cold.
you know, like when, like I always lived with all these fucking voodoo bitches, like these like witches that like.
You gotta stop fucking trolling for pussy at Hot Topics.
All these. No, I'm at the herb shop. At the herb shop and the candle
it's
store.
Some tea store, yeah.
House of Intuitions. Sounds like there's a woman there who will stab me and then make a spit pulp out of plantain leaves to kill the wound after. That's too specific, but it was so dead on.
Specific.
It was so dead on. And nobody who listens to this will appreciate that. That was a straight up, I go to herb school in Portland. Oh, man. My talents are just wasted. Anyway.
That's not true. Our listeners get it. All seven of them.
All these fucking people who like refer back to old time medicine. What is wrong with you? Like, I remember I had a flu and this girlfriend made me thyme tea because she said that, or oregano or thyme tea. I can't remember what. She goes, it'll raise your fever and then you'll sweat through it and break it. And
what?
Yeah, which maybe that's true, but you can also take stuff that lowers your fever without raising your fever. I had a red face. I got a rash on the back of my neck.
Holy shit. Yeah, you shouldn't raise that fever.
But it's not bad for your liver like acetaminophen is or whatever. No.
You know how much fucking acetaminophen you have to take for it to really fuck
also,
your liver?
Also, do you know what I do to my liver every day?
Coming from the guy that drinks a pint glass of vodka neat. Dad, sleepy time juice.
Jesus Christ, you could play hockey with my liver. That's what my father said.
You play hockey with my liver. That's very funny.
Yeah, but the old-timey medicine shit gets on my nerves, dude.
Yeah, fuck that, dude.
There's no reason to go.
That's
like,
why it was like, I still don't understand why people aren't vaccinating their kids. I'm certain you hang out with a lot of bitches that are against that shit,
too. You know what? Our school was, my preschool I worked at, was very pro-vax. The anti-vax crowd actually isn't my world too much because that's mostly like rich white, Kathy Lee Gifford, white wine, Xanax moms.
It's fucking stupid is what it is. There's no science behind it.
I remember
it was
lunatic. Jenny McCarthy.
She's the one that endorsed it. It was that one fucking lunatic who lost his fucking doctor. He lost his doctor. So they took doctor away from a doctor.
Right.
Because of that. The anti-vax shit. And then some fucking daffy bitch goes and just because she showed her tits a bunch in the fucking 90s, people are listening to her about their kids.
Yeah.
And like that dude started touring.
A great mom.
That dude started fucking touring and saying that and going to like poor ass neighborhoods and shit like that. So then there's like been outbreaks of all these old ass diseases that aren't. That haven't been around for years because we fucking...
Oh, like measles, I think?
Yeah.
Or mumps, some shit.
It fucking...
Measles and mumps will be at the J-Spot in Inglewood tonight, by the way. It's a black ventriloquist. Measles and mumps.
I'd pay to see that.
Yeah, I would too.
I'd pay to see that show for sure. It's just so stupid. It's so stupid. Just all you have to do is just look up like two science websites. It's not hard.
I know. Jen, when I was in school for early childhood education, look out, name drop. I dropped a community college certificate on the ground there. Let me pick that back up. Put that in my pocket. I remember the teacher was this old hippie lady, and she started each class with She called reggae hege, like I think it was like the Portuguese way they say it. She was white.
Of course she was.
Yeah, and she would do like a hege dance and play like reggae music. This old, old woman with giant tits. Giant tits.
And why are the old teachers always have giant tits? Every old teacher, old lady teacher that I had giant tits too.
I don't know. I
think that's a common thing. Go ahead.
Maybe it's all the apples.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah,
her
maybe,
tits
maybe apples give you big hangers. but I
check the science on that. Yeah, anybody listening?
You know what I found with Google is if you word it right, you can back yourself up. If I write, do apples give you bigger tits? Like in Google, like it'll figure out a way to put that together and validate me.
Which sucks. That's why people are still not vaccinating their children.
Yeah, this hege dancing hippie woman. After she was done dancing, I remember she was the sweetest woman in the world, but we started talking about vaccinations in class, and she was like, she's like 80 years old, and she was just like peace and love, and she was like, I want to slit that bitch's throat. Talking about Jenny McCarthy.
She's ruining hundreds of people's lives.
She's like, who's listening to this whore? She said a whore, and she's like a feminist. She wrote, Jenny McCarthy is a whore on the board, and I took a picture of it with my phone, that's like on a dry erase board.
It's just ridiculous, man.
I know.
It's ridiculous. Like, Jenny McCarthy. If there was more than one dude, if there was more than one place that it came from, that's then you create doubt. But it's just from fucking whack job. Yep. Who was just trying to make money and create a name for himself, which he did, and in the worst way possible. Like, what? Are you fucking kidding me?
It's insane. It's just
it was like big in they started spreading it. It happened like huge in the Somalian community in Minnesota, I think. I think that's where it was. But that's where it started.
I forgot that. I was in Minneapolis when Obama won, and the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And the streets were flooded with Somalians. I didn't know there were so many people there.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I used to have an old joke book that a shitload of racist Somalians.
Is spreading there.
Oh, really?
A lot of Somalian jokes?
Yeah, I had a joke book that I think they just switched Polak with Somalis.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's real clever.
Yeah. Yeah, it was they a just shit
apply,
like...
It would be funny to just apply all one stereotype to an entire another race of people.
Yeah, yeah. Those, you know, like if you're just like Somalis. Yeah.
Those pit bull owning Koreans.
Those greaseball, oil skin, Guinea wop, greasy fucking Ethiopian bastards talking with their hands. Always in the mob in their shark skin suits.
This fucking Japanese and their white privilege.
So they kind of do have white privilege.
Japanese?
They're the white Asians. They are the most privileged Asians.
Of all of them, are they?
Yeah.
What? They're the ones that got bombed. How do you figure?
They got bombed, but they are the most technologically advanced. They're also a little bit of a smaller country. They get white men worship them.
Yeah.
Of all the Asians, they get the most heat. The only I think a lot of people think about people going to Thailand to get Asian women, but that's just because they want to fuck kids and like
lady boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Japanese people are very, very privileged of the Asians. They're basically white.
Well, dude, it also makes sense because Okinawa is pretty much almost all U.S. military bases. Like, there's a huge amount of white dudes, or just American dudes, not just white dudes, but huge amount of American dudes. Like in Japan, especially specifically on Okinawa, there's like 12 just Marine bases.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, dude, we practically own that.
And the Philippines are like that too. Mm-hmm. Dude, if you go in a military base, because the Army has Korea, mm-hmm. the Navy has the Philippines, the Marines have Okinawa. Any business, the PX, that's like the Walmart on there, and the liquor store, all that shit is fucking run by Korean or Asians that were brought home.
Yeah.
From dudes who are, they all marry Asian women.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, dude, when I did that tour over there, that's like all I saw, all these dudes, everybody that was married, they were married to like some Asian chick.
My friend is obsessed with Asian women, and I tried to get him to tell me why, and he's like, they're just more ladylike and more... It was like you're getting to the root, and you're like, "Oh, you're an actual misogynist." The thing you like about them is that
they walk 5 feet behind. Yeah,
they don't talk out of turn, and they have high voices
because
and they're
scared
and they
of you.
Out.
That's why you like them, so you can feel like a big man.
Because he's just like American women are just so like abrasive and unsexy and not like you know. And it was like, wow, that's real misogyny.
Yeah,
you just really
want a concubine. Is what happened. Yeah, you just really want a person. The beck and call girl.
Yeah, I need somebody who will slit her wrist with a broken CD.
That's so specific.
Yeah.
You're such a monster.
Apologies to whoever just told me about slitting their wrist with a CD. I don't know who you are, but that's stuck in my mind. Somebody said that recently. It wasn't a bit, it was a real human. But I'm filing that in the spank bank right there. Slitting your wrist with a CD, broken CD.
Oh, that's funny. I
got plans for that memory.
Oh, jeez. Hey, guys. This has been another very fun-filled episode of No Sir, I Don't Like It. Make sure you guys like us on Facebook.
Follow us on Instagram and the Twitter at NoSirPod. Write us if you have things that you don't like. We can talk about it on the air too. Or you could write about things that you don't like about the show or about us personally. Brian really likes when people hate on him because nobody wants to roast battle him. I don't know what it is, but he just wants somebody to be mean to him.
Because
he's not dating right now. Yeah. Nobody is physically assaulting him or verbally assaulting him. So send him some
hate.
Too
much confidence right now.
I'm telling you, dude. That's why I think I'm going to die. I feel good about myself. It's fucked up. It's fucked up, dude.
If you if you want to do us a favor, go ahead and throw that. This isn't even a favor, but go ahead and throw that Brian Regan clip on and do yourself a favor.
God, watch it. It's so good.
Landing on the Moon.
I think it's called Dinner Party. Brian Regan Dinner Party is the clip on YouTube.
So you know what we're talking about.
It's amazing. It's one of my favorite bits of all time. It's so human and it makes fun of us in such a beautiful way. Oh, he's the fucking best. I love Brian Regan.
Anyway,
thanks for listening. Email us nosiridontlikeitpodcast@gmail.com. That's nosiridontlikeitpodcast@gmail.com.
My auto memory autofill when I try to log into Podbean with that, I misspelled it one time, and so it always tries to autofill it as no sir as don't like that as don't like it because I put an S in there. No sir as don't like it. It's like, what a racist autofill I have. Don't remember that.
Wrong thing to remember.
Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.